Colorado Preps.
Kevin Schaefer with your Colorado Preps cast.
Week 4 of the high school football season is wrapped up. Next week, already marking the midway point of the regular season, conference play actually got started this week down in the smaller classifications, and we'll hit full speed there on almost every division next week. Welcome to our Colorado PrepsCast. We recap the week in football during the regular season each Sunday. PrepsCast is presented by Colorado Farm Bureau Insurance and Ziggy's Coffee. Farm Bureau, they've been a partner with us almost since the beginning, and this year they offer good drivers excellent discounts on insurance coverage. You can find out more at cfbinsurance.com. Again, that's cfbinsurance.com. Ziggy's, they're a franchise group continuing to grow in locations throughout Colorado and across the entire country. We invite you to stop by on your way to work or maybe home from work, maybe the best part of your day. And they're also interested in visiting with you about setting up a franchise in your area. To do both, log on to ziggyscoffee.com, ziggyscoffee.com. Now, this week, we start with kudos to the Wiley community. By now, you know that tragic story of the accident that cost the lives of four high school students last week. This week, the Panthers got back on the field and delivered a very emotional 30-14 win over Crowley County. It was really their first game action of the season. They were off in week one and, of course, canceled their game last week, so they're now 1-0 with a very important win for the entire community. And that football win, part of many for the Panthers this week as they try to recover. The softball team collected a win over Florence, and the volleyball squad, which is among the best in 1A, they scored a couple of wins as well. And we also want to mention all the opponents of Wiley. In all sports, opposing teams offered to play all their games in Wiley to help the Panther community heal and not have to deal with all the details involved with playing on the road. And also kudos to the entire state of Colorado. A big thank you there. Social media has been filled with photos of support for Wiley, and many, many communities, regardless of distance, held fundraisers or did the old-called pass the bucket to help those Wiley families in need. And again, it's very much appreciated. Makes us proud of the high school community that we have here in Colorado. Unfortunately, another school is dealing with a similar loss as well. Skyline Football working through the unexpected death of a player and student from last week. And even though they picked up an impressive win and against an in-city rival in Silver Creek last Thursday, you can tell the hurt and healing continues as we visited with their head coach, Michael Silva.
It's tough. I'd be lying if I said they're doing good. Yeah. They're not. And it's a day-by-day thing, and, we just talk about loving each other through it, and you just never know when those emotions are going to come to the surface, and obviously it's an emotional game, so they typically come at that time, how we react to that, how we control that is gonna be how the rest of our season goes, and that is questionable as to how those emotions come out, because it's a hard situation.
Yeah, and getting back to your game last night, did you see that on the field? Because you kind of, I don't want to say sleepwalk, but through the first half, three quarters, you didn't do a lot, but then you rallied to get the win in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, no, absolutely, and almost, unfortunately, to be expected. I felt like there's a point in the game there where you start to feel like nothing's going your way and feel sorry for yourself, and again it's exactly what you would think you would feel like in the current situation. We could have thrown in the towel, and we found a way to get up and go find a way to win.
Yeah, no, I think.
So, really, really, really proud of them for digging deep there, because they could have packed it in and nobody would have faulted them.
Yeah, normally I close with asking about your next opponent. In your case, it's Erie, and they're a good football team. But with the situation you're dealing with and working through all that, do you worry much about who your opponent is, or you focus more on your kids and getting them what they need?
Yeah, for sure. What they need, especially if what they need is just extra emotional support in this scenario. But we try not to prepare any differently, and we try to we want to get as close to normal as we possibly can. You know what I mean? So that's preparing the way that we do is normal, and that's what I want to give them, and that's what they need. So we will, you know, we'll focus on Erie and everything that they do and all that stuff. And I think they're a very quality team. I think they're probably pretty similar to a Golden team that we competed just fine with. And like I said, had chances to win that game. And I think it won't be any different than that type of game. You know, again, if we go out there and play well, I think that'll be a barn burner. But you know, it's just a crapshoot as far as where we are with our mentality and in our emotions, and I'm included in that.
Yeah.
Tough situation. So we'll grind it through, and we'll do that together. So that's our battle cry for the year, and we'll continue on that path.
Prayers and support continue for both Skyline and Wiley here from Colorado Preps. Now let's move into a very big list of teams that got off the snide last week and earned their first win of the season. 21 teams on that list, but let's focus a bit early on Fort Lupton and Heritage. Both earned their first win by just 1 point. Fort Lupton beat Estes Park 39-38. Heritage survived in overtime against Vista Peak 27-26. We have some comments from both coaches. Let's start with Joey O'Connor of Fort Lupton.
You know, it was a great win for the boys, and they needed that. They needed to get that feeling of what it's like to win, and especially what it's like to fight all four quarters. And we learned how to do that last night, and you know, they played their hearts out for four quarters and got it done.
This thing looked like it went back and forth the entire day. You would score, Estes would score, you would score, they would score. That's the way it seemed like the entire night.
Yeah, it was definitely back and forth. And, you know, we went in at halftime and made some adjustments to our defense, and we were able to hold them to 12 points in the second half. And, offensively, we just kept playing our game, and we controlled the clock in the third quarter, and we had a 7-minute and 45-second drive basically to eat the whole third quarter. And that's how our offense is designed, is, you know, we're going to run the ball and we're going to wear you out. And it ended up working, and in the end, it helped us out.
And you mentioned getting a tight win as you build that program. Games like this are a necessity because you build confidence, you learn how to win, and all those intangibles.
Oh, most definitely. I think the biggest thing is, you know, changing the culture, and we're on the right path and moving in the right direction. And you know, obviously, you want to win by more, but, this is one that not just myself, but this entire program, this entire community is going to remember forever, especially a homecoming game. It was unbelievable for the town, for the team, and the school. And just getting those kids to learn how to fight for all four quarters in a tight game like that, not get down, and they played together and came together as a unit.
And now Heritage coach Tyler Knobloch.
Kids have been really trying to battle and really trying to play the game the right way, you know, with respect and being first class, and then also being able to be physical when you're supposed to. That's a hard line and a lesson for kids to learn. And we certainly cut our teeth on a tough opening 3-week schedule playing 3-5-A teams, and so we were challenged greatly. And you know, to be able to continue to show up and continue to practice hard and play tough and play the right way. You know, it was definitely nice to get a win. You know, it was really nice this morning to come into film session and be like, this is why we've been working so hard to play the way we're trying to coach you to play. And, you know, and just to do it in the fashion we did, you know, depending on how you look at the game, you could say, you know, it got tougher than it should have, but that would also be sort of discrediting Vista Peak and their athleticism and their coaching and the way they play. They played hard and have some fantastic athletes. So yeah, absolutely. To your point,
yeah.
Very nice to get in a win column, and you know, hopefully it continues after having such a tough schedule as we have built into the season.
one constant, if you heard between the coaches, the word confidence and culture, confidence from winning tight games, that helps build culture they're trying to build down the road. Four teams in 5A picked up their first wins of the season. They were Westminster, Rangeview, Fossil Ridge, and Denver East. Probably the best of the bunch, Fossil Ridge, they stunned Eagle Crest late. In 4A, Centaurus and Broomfield enjoyed success for the first time. Centaurus down Thornton. Broomfield won a physical game from Monarch. Eagles with that win up their mark to 1-3, and despite that rough start, don't be surprised if they still push for a playoff spot. It's a good team, and there's more room for error this year as the field has expanded out to 24 clubs. In 3A, Battle Mountain, Thompson Valley, and Pueblo South were all first-time winners. Battle Mountain outscored Aspen 43-34, Thompson edged Berthoud, and then Pueblo South down Lewis Palmer. Colts got back their starting quarterback Jace Bella from injury, so they should get even more wins down the road. They're 1-2 right now, but still a playoff team in our mind. In 2A, Inglewood, Arvada, Northfield, and Pagosa Springs earned opening victories. Inglewood rallied to stun Littleton. That's probably the best win of that group. In 1A, Del Norte and Colorado Springs Christian rolled past Trinidad and Rocky Ford, respectively, so they get their first mark in the win column. Byers and Custer County joined them in 8-man by downing Denver Christian and Justice, respectively. Deer Trail and High Plains also won their first games in 6-man. Now, staying in 6-man, that's where we get our overall best win of the week. It belongs to Cheyenne Wells. Playing at home, they're ranked number 2 in 6-man. The Tigers did not surprise a lot of folks when they beat top-ranked Grenada, but the way they did it made a huge and loud statement across the division. The final was 77-20 for Tigers head coach Miles Smith.
These guys were ready to go today. Any big game, we kind of knew it was going to be a big game, so it was marked on the calendar, and these guys came out today and put on a good show.
And defensively, let's start there, because obviously Grenada has the big running back and the quarterback and the wide receiver brother combination, and it looks like pressure on that offense was your success today.
Yeah, our defense, they really led the way today. We ended up with 10 sacks, I believe, and were able to create a few turnovers. So hats off to our defense. Our defensive coach, Blake Bogenhagen, they came up with a good scheme this week.
What's this win do for you? I know a lot of expectations there on the Eastern Plains. Injuries decimated you last year, still had a good run. But the win today and the statement that it makes across the six-man ranks, what's it do for you?
For us, we know it's a huge win for this team and our program, but we know, like you just said, there's a lot of football to be played. So we told our guys after the game, enjoy it, but we still got to get back to work Monday and keep getting better every week.
And where do you want to get better, Coach? I know it's hard to ask that question after an effort like today, but as a coach, you can always find things to get better at. What are they?
There are. It's just a lot of little things. Still, guys up front, little things that we've been working on, sustaining blocks, and defensively we know guys are going to pass it on us, so if we can just get better in coverage every week, I like the things that we're able to do.
Still plenty of football to play, of course, but if the Tigers stay healthy, they should be the number one seed in the playoffs. Right now they're the favorites to win it all. They were very good last year as well, but were stunted by injuries. Right now everyone on the roster seems healthy. That's not good news for their opponents down the road. Several other teams to mention for quality wins this week. Sierra Grande staying in six-man. They moved very close to winning the Southwest Division and a playoff berth as they blanked Mountain Valley 33-0. Cotopaxi is up next week, and a win there should get the Panthers where they want to be.
You know, the league championship is one of the goals, you know, but what we want to work for too is getting into the playoffs, and we want a home playoff game, and you know, they know what they got to do, and so we just kind of keep that in our sights and just work hard every practice.
That's Sierra Grande head coach Luis Corona. In 8-man, important league wins for Pikes Peak Christian and Dayspring Christian. Pikes Peak controlled time of possession for almost the entire second half, then stopped a similar 2-point conversion to salvage a 16-14 win. That's a key victory in the Southern Conference. It also features Swink and Calhan. Dayspring led Akron 26-18 at halftime, then rolled the Rams 58-18. Five teams in the Plain Conference are ranked again this week, so any league win win considered high quality this year. Next up for the Eagles, Haxton, Sedgwick County, and Marino still on the schedule down the road. Now, we mentioned Calhoun as a league contender in the Southern Division. They also stayed perfect at 3-0, moving past Rangeley 22-14. That a non-conference win. Bulldogs actually trailed in that game 14-0 at halftime before storming back in the third and fourth quarters. In 1A, wins by Yuma and Florence caught our attention. Yuma picked up a 28-21 win over Highland. That was a battle of two teams that should be in the chase for at least a wild card playoff berth. The win gives the Indians the edge in that race here near the midway point of the season. Florence used a strong second half to beat Holyoke 36-15. Teams were ranked third and fourth respectively last week. Huskies outscored the Dragons 22-0 in the second half after three blowout wins where they didn't allow a single point. Saturday's win answered some questions for the Huskies and their head coach Jeremy Nix.
Oh, they were up 15-14 at the half, and I believe we kind of wore them out a little bit. I think playing last week at 1 o'clock helped us, endure the heat a little bit and the sun. So that was probably a plus. And we were just able to, do some things. Defense played really good in the second half. We got a few turnovers, gave the offense some extra opportunities. We had some good special teams play. We blocked the punt and returned the kick. So those are helping us. Special teams have been really big momentum gainers for us this year as well.
And it seems like another difference. I mean, when you talk Florence football, you think quarterback, tailback, 5 yards, cloud of dust, move it. But you guys have put together, and included today, you have some big playability on both sides of the ball.
Yes, we're pretty quick. We're pretty fast. And have a quarterback that can wing it around. It's helped us get guys on the perimeter so we can minimize the box. It's helped the run game out a bunch. It's nice. We've had big old backs. The Bassetti kid was great for us, but he did a ton of great things for us. But we're able to kind of spread the ball out and get it in the hands of guys on the edge. And it really put some pressure on the defense. I think that's really helped us out.
Yeah. You said you got some questions answered today. Can you share what some of those were?
Oh, for one, playing a tough team, someone that fights back. They're tough up there. They'll smack you. So I wanted to make sure that we could handle teams that were going to have a ton of fight and play four quarters. So that was huge. When we needed to, we could kind of grind the ball down a little bit, keep that clock running, try to get out of the game. That was a big question for us. And then the other thing, is how we handled adversity, because we really hadn't had much. And I thought our boys, coming in at halftime down by a point, they really responded well. That was a big one.
In Class 2A, it was Eaton and Academy collecting impressive wins. Eaton is ranked number one in the state. They were favored against 7th-ranked Platte Valley, but much like Cheyenne Wells, it was the manner and how they won as they picked up a 32-0 shutout. Reds are the defending fall champs, still unbeaten at this point of the season. Academy is unbeaten as well. That's kind of a surprise. They're 3-0. They downed tradition-rich Kent Denver with some ease. How about a 42-21 final there? Program scored their most ever wins back in 2011 with 8. The win on Saturday keeps him on pace to match or even move past that number here in 2021. In 3A, the focus on Eagle Valley for a good win. The Devils battled some COVID concerns very early this year, but they're 3-0 after outlasting University 38-30 in double overtime on Friday. They're now 3-0 on the season, and Coach John Davis was very excited as he joined us on the Scoreboard Show.
So proud of our kids. Putting in a new offense, putting in a new defense. They did a great job, and I got to tell you, that University Ball Club was a very well-coached team, and they got great athletes. They're going to do amazing things as the season rolls on.
And I think you are too. Overtime, I was following it on social media. Did you guys have the possession both times, first in the overtimes and scored, and they had to match it? Is that how that worked?
Yes. What happens, they said, hey, what we want to do is we want to go for it. And I said, hey, guys, what happens? Let's do what we do. I'm very proud of our seniors, Will Guymon, Kevin Hansley, Eric Peterson. I mean to tell you, we've got a great group of guys, and very proud of all of our guys. They did great. That was just our senior leadership tonight.
You mentioned Guymon.
By the way, I would be remiss if I didn't say Cody Rayford did great. And what happens is Nick coming up with that interception at the end. That was just made our night. Coach Matheson, our defensive back coach, did an absolutely amazing job. And I can't, as you can tell, I'm sky high, and I'll be quiet and let you ask questions, or I apologize.
That's okay. You got that interception, I understand, in the second overtime to seal it. Walk us through that sequence.
Funny enough, is what happens. I talk with Nick. I said, "Hey, Nick." I said, "Nick, I want to tell you something. You are playing great. You just barely missed this one with a tip." And what happens? I said, "Nick, I want you to understand it. You're going to go out and you're going to make this interception." And he went out and made the interception. He said, "Coach, how'd you know?" And I said, "Nick, it's just because you're playing a great game. It was just amazing. He did an amazing job.
Okay, you get the double overtime win on the road. You move to 3-0. But these are the kind of games over the recent past the Devils have fallen short in. What's the difference with this bunch this year to get you to 3-0 and a win like this on the road?
I think what happens, I think it's building a culture. And I think what happens is that these kids have worked their tails off. I am so darn proud of them. We're asking a lot of them. And anytime you come in and put a new offense in and you put a new defense in and do those type things and you condition right, I am very, very proud of them. You know, we had a little thing with a virus that we had at the beginning of the year and it just decimated our team. I've got to tell you what's happening is that these guys are fighters. What they're doing is they're coming back, and I'm super, super proud of them. And I'm very, very pleased with our effort, very, very pleased with our fight. And what happens is that it's just one step in the journey, and what we're going to do is we're going to keep on taking those steps, sir.
In 4A, probably the best win went to defending champion Loveland. The Indians bounced back from the loss to 5A Ralston Valley and downing Windsor 14-7. About 87 combined rushing attempts in that game compared to just 5 pass attempts. No surprise, really, in those numbers, as both the Red Wolves, and the Wizards want to run the football. Up in 5A, let's start with Douglas County. They blanked 8th-ranked Castleview 16-0. Huskies improved to 4-0, should be in the top 10 come Monday. It was their first win in the rivalry with Castleview since 2014. Lakewood is 3-1. Tigers used nearly an 8-minute drive late in the fourth quarter and stunned Eagle Crest 27-23, so a good win for Lakewood. And Ralston Valley also won the top 5 battle with Grandview. They led the entire way in a 24-13 decision. Now, last week, we teased our list of playoff teams in each class, and this week, the focus is on rankings here from Colorado Preps. Not going to post them online, but instead just provide them here. They're simply our thoughts on the best 5 teams in each class based on results that we've seen through the first 4 weeks of the season. Start in the big school ranks in 5A. Valor Christian, our choice, is the best team, and followed closely by Columbine and Cherry Creek. Not a big surprise there. We feel the state champion will be one of those 3 clubs. Valor and Columbine meet this week. That should be a dandy and could give us a preview of maybe which team will win the state championship. Ralston Valley and Regis are the next 2 selections in our picks. Raiders barely edged out Grandview for that 5th spot. Up in 4A, Palmer Ridge, Pine Creek, first 2 choices, let's call them co-number ones. They could be in either order in 1-2. Both teams are unbeaten and playing very good football right now. Dakota Ridge and Chatfield, 3rd and 4th on our list. They'll battle later this season in what should be a tremendous conference race in a division that also includes unbeaten Golden. Montrose's been rolling folks out west. They're our 5th pick, and after meeting Grand Junction this week, the Indians have to deal with Ponderosa, Palmer Ridge, and Vista Ridge in league play. In 3A, we think Roosevelt and Meade are the top 2 clubs, and again, no surprise. In fact, they may have a gap on the rest of the division right now. Both have been simply dominant through the early part of the season. Fort Morgan jumps up to 3rd on our list, followed by Lutheran in 4th. Both clubs also perfect through this stage of the year. 5th was a toss-up in 3A, but we went with Evergreen over Frederick simply because the Cougars have played more games than the Warriors, who've been off the last couple of weeks. In 2A, we mentioned Eaton's win over Platte Valley. That keeps them the top choice in our mind. Resurrection Christian and Classical Academy, a very close 2nd and 3rd. This division, very tight at the top. Basalt and Delta from out west are our picks for 4th and 5th right now. Basalt picked up a very good win over Glenwood Springs last week, and they sit at 4-0. Demons were ranked in the top 10 of 3, and Basalt took them out by 3 scores. Delta is 3-1, but the loss is against 3A Palisade. In 1A, Lyman is the 3-time state champ, but right now Centauri's our top pick in that division. They've beaten Ray and Strasburg already this year, and the margin of victory over Strasburg pushed the Falcons ahead of Lyman in our mind. Centauri won their game 42-3. Lyman blanked the Indians 20-0 the week before. One difference in putting those 2 scores together, Strasburg quarterback Landon Martin played most of the game against Lyman before leaving with an injury, and that injury caused him to miss the entire showdown with Centauri. Florence was very strong in their win over Holyoke, so the Huskies a solid choice at number 3, followed by Ray and North Fork in Class 1A. Holyoke also in that discussion. Despite the loss to Florence, Buena Vista was also given consideration. In 8-man, a Western team has not won the state championship since Sangre de Cristo did so in 1996. That streak could come to an end this year as Sanford and Mancos. There are picks for the best two teams in the division. Normally, this list is headed up by the Plains Division, but Sanford, they've already beaten Dayspring Christian, and Mancos had that big win over Marino a couple of weeks ago. Plains, though, well represented on our list. We have Dayspring Christian 3rd, Sedgwick County 4th, and Haxton 5th. As mentioned, Dayspring and Haxton collide here in Week 5. In 6-man, no doubt that Cheyenne Wells is the best team. Tigers have already posted wins over Grenada and Stratton, so they're the obvious choice at number 1. Stratton is our pick at number 2, and it's based on margin of loss against Cheyenne Wells. Theirs was just 15 compared to the 57 we discussed for Grenada. Bobcats are number 3 in our list, though, followed by Fleming and then Idalia. So those are our selections for top 5 teams in our mind. We ask you to send us your thoughts through email to kevin@coloradopreps.com. That's kevin@coloradopreps.com. Now coming up this week, we're going to post RPI standings early on our website and also provide our first edition of the combined rankings. RPI determines playoff qualifiers and overall rankings help place them in the bracket. Again, we'll have those numbers out this week for the first time at coloradopreps.com. Our PrepCast is again presented by Colorado Farm Bureau Insurance and Ziggy's Coffee. Again, we invite you to see them both online. Find out information at cfbinsurance.com and ziggyscoffee.com. Thanks for joining us. We'll visit again next Sunday. I'm Kevin Schaefer.